Data everywhere. It seems like it's become, well, kind of unavoidable. Every industry is completely obsessed these days. And I guess for good reason, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Data, it's like the backbone now.
Yeah.
Especially, for us data analysts, it's everything. It's about knowing how to work with it, how to really unlock those game-changing insights.
It's true. You can't escape it, which is why we're diving into this gold mine of knowledge. There's this blog post from Adaptive US all about like 10 must-read books for data analysts. It's basically a cheat sheet to go from data newbie to total data rock star.
And the cool thing is, it's not all just about, the hardcore technical stuff. A lot of these books really highlight something even more, well, fundamental, I guess you could say, about approaching data the right way, having the right mindset.
Okay, now you've got me curious. So before we even like crack open these books, what kind of mindset are we even talking about here? What makes or breaks a data analyst like in today's world?
It really boils down to, never stop learning. This field, data, it just never stands still. New tools pop up, new techniques, new challenges, you name it. Imagine trying to analyze like today's massive data sets using some outdated ancient technology. You'd be, well, toast.
Now that's a scary thought. That's like, I don't know, showing up to a Formula One race with a horse and buggy.
Yeah, exactly. Continuous learning, that's your secret weapon. It keeps you ahead of the curve, makes sure your skills are, well, relevant.
In demand, even. Like that whole saying, invest in yourself, right? The more you know, the more valuable you are. All right, you've convinced me. So where do these books fit in? What kind of like data wisdom are we about to uncover?
They cover a ton of ground, different skills, all sorts of areas. But you know, it's interesting. A bunch of them, they focus on something people don't always think about: storytelling.
Storytelling. Really? That seems, well, I don't know, kind of simple. I thought we were diving into algorithms and crazy data visualizations, not like bedtime stories.
Yeah, no, it's definitely more than that. But think about it, being able to actually communicate your findings in a way that, people actually get. That's huge. It's just as important as the analysis itself. And actually, three of the books, Storytelling with Data, Factualness, and Effective Data Storytelling, they're all about this whole idea.
All right, you got my attention. Let's start with Storytelling with Data by Cole Nussbaumer-Nafflick. What's the main takeaway there?
She really hammers home this point that, it's not enough to just show the numbers. You have to build a story around it, a narrative. Think about it. Would you rather, stare at a spreadsheet for an hour or listen to someone tell you a really captivating story based on that data?
Definitely the story makes it way more interesting. Okay, so how do we actually do that with data? How do we tell that story?
One of her big things is something she calls the storytelling spectrum. Basically, it's all about finding that balance in your visuals. You don't want to make the data like too simple, but you also don't want to overwhelm everyone with a million charts and graphs either,
It's got to be that sweet spot, informative but engaging at the same time.
Exactly. It's like, how much detail do you actually need to get the point across without losing your audience along the way? Like, let's say you're presenting on website traffic, a simple line graph that just shows the overall trend. That might be enough for some people. But if you're presenting to, I don't know, a whole team of marketing experts, then you might need a more detailed chart, something that breaks down the traffic by the source or by landing page, conversion rates, that kind of thing.
So like tailoring it, like a custom suit. You want the right fit. Okay, that makes sense. Anything specific from the book? Any techniques we could try like right now?
One thing that comes to mind is she's big on cutting the clutter from your visuals, maximizing what she calls the data ink ratio. Basically, it means how much of the ink is actually showing data, Any extra stuff, get rid of it. Make the data the star.
It's like Marie Kondoing your data visualizations. If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it. Except here, it's got to spark, well, insights. Makes sense. Okay, we've got the storytelling part down, but what about the actual data itself? Even the best storytellers need good material, right?
That's where Factfulness by Hans Rosling comes in. He tackles a really important part of this that people often miss, and that's our own biases. Rosling says that we often misinterpret data just because of how our brains work, Like we jump to conclusions or focus only on the bad
It's
stuff.
like our own brains are working against us. So, how do we fix it? How do we fight against, literally how our brains are wired?
Rosling talks about these 10 common instincts that can really trip us up and, ways to overcome them. One is what he calls the gap instinct. It's that whole thing where we try to divide everything into two groups, like developed versus developing countries. He says that way of thinking is, well, outdated.
Because, like, it's not black and white, right? The world's way more complicated than that.
Exactly. Rosling shows how this whole instinct can really mess with our understanding of what's actually going on in the world. For example, people might think there's a huge gap in, say, life expectancy between, you know, rich and poor countries. But when you look at the data, most countries, they're actually clustered around a much higher average than you'd think.
Factfulness is about, like, challenging what we think we know and looking at the data with a fresh perspective.
Exactly. And it's a good reminder that the world, it's often a lot better than we think. We just need to really see the data clearly. Okay, so we've talked about looking at data without all the bias and then shaping it into a good story. But where does that story actually go? What's the goal?
To, you know, shower the world with our data wisdom, obviously.
Well, chuckles. Yeah, in a way. But Brent Dykes, in his book, Effective Data Storytelling, he says that the real power of all this is that it actually makes people do things. You know, it's not just about getting the story. It's about getting people to write the next chapter. It's about taking all those insights, you know, the ones you've worked so hard for, and crafting them, weaving them into a narrative that really grabs people. Makes them want to take action.
So it's not just understanding the data, it's about inspiring others to, well, I guess, be a part of it.
Yeah, exactly. And he really gets into the how-to of it all. Like, how do you structure a data story so it has the most impact? How do you grab their attention right from the start? And then, you know, leave them with a clear call to action. He even talks about visuals, using things like impactful charts, graphs, you know, even interactive elements to make that data come alive.
Because everyone loves a good infographic, right? I mean, it's amazing how much more interesting information can be when it's visual.
For sure. But Dykes is clear that good visuals, they're not just about being pretty. They have to make things easier to understand. And this is key, more memorable. One thing he talks about is using what he calls small multiples. Basically, you're breaking down complex stuff into smaller, easier bits.
So instead of one giant chart that just, like, overwhelms everyone, you create a bunch of smaller ones that each tell a piece of the story.
Right. Like, let's say you're looking at sales data, but you've got all these different product lines, and you're trying to see the trends over time. So instead of cramming all that into one big line graph, you could use these small multiples to show a separate line graph for each product. It makes it way easier to compare, you know, to actually spot those patterns.
So it's about making those insights really pop.
Totally. Clarity is key. Okay, so we've talked about storytelling, but now let's dig into the actual tools and techniques that analysts use to uncover those insights. Up next, we've got data science for business, naked statistics, and data smart.
Okay, let's get down to business. Hit me with your best data wizardry. What's first?
Data Science for Business by Foster Provost and Tom Fawcett. It's like the Bible for anyone who wants to apply data science in the real world, especially, you know, for business stuff.
So how do we bridge that gap between the theoretical data science
Right.
and what businesses actually need?
Exactly. They're really big on really understanding the problem you're trying to solve before you even go near the data. Data science, it shouldn't be done in a vacuum, right? It's got to be driven by what's actually happening out in the world.
It's like that saying, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You got to have the right tools for the job, and you got to know the lay of the land.
Right. It's about working smarter, not harder. Like, let's say you've got this retail company, right? And their sales are tanking. So instead of just randomly collecting data on, like, who their customers are or how many people visit their website, a good data scientist would work with them to really figure out what's going on. Is it that nobody's coming to the store anymore? Are people adding stuff to their online cart and then just, like, disappearing? Once you know what the actual problem is, then you can focus on the data that actually matters, right? The data that's going to give you answers.
She's saying it's about working smarter, not harder.
Oh.
Love it. Okay, so we've defined the problem, gathered our data. Now, how do we make sense of it all? That's where Naked Statistics comes in, right? By Charles Whelan.
Yes. And this book, it's so refreshing, especially if you're, you know, a little intimidated by statistics. Whelan, he actually uses humor and these really relatable examples to explain even the most complex stuff. He takes something that could be super dry and makes it, well, fun.
Okay, so he's like the stand-up comedian of statistics, making us laugh while we learn.
Exactly. Like, he explains this concept called, get this, regression analysis. Sounds scary, right? But he does it by talking about, like, how we could use it to guess how tall a kid's going to be based on how tall their parents are. And then he shows how you can use that same idea for tons of other things, like figuring out house prices or stock market trends, even whether your marketing campaign's going to be a hit or a flop.
It's about making those connections, finding those real-world applications.
Awesome.
So what about our last book in this group, Data Smart by John W. Foreman?
This one, it's all about that balance between theory and actually getting your hands dirty. Foreman, he's all about diving right in, starting with the basics, like even just using Excel.
Spreadsheets, gotta love them. It's amazing what you can do with even the simplest tools.
Seriously. He shows you how powerful they can be if you know how to use them, but he doesn't just stop there.
Yeah.
He gets into some pretty advanced stuff, like predictive modeling.
Predictive modeling. Okay, now that sounds intense.
It sounds fancy, but really it's about using like past data to make good guesses about what's going to happen in the future. Like imagine you're a retailer, right? You could use predictive modeling to figure out how much of a certain product people are going to buy during, say, the holidays. That way you make sure you have enough in stock, you know, and you don't miss out on any sales.
Yeah. So you're not just reacting to what's happening now. You're actually staying one step ahead.
Exactly. And Foreman, he gives you all these practical examples and like step-by-step instructions for how to actually do it using real data.
It's like having a personal data guru right there in your hands.
Man, this is great.
It is, right. Okay, you ready for the next level? Because we're moving on to the world of Python, a programming language that's like everywhere in data analysis.
Bring on the Python. We've actually got two recommendations for the same book here. Python for Data Analysis by Wes McKinney. This guy must be a legend or something.
He is. He really is. See, McKinney, he's the one who actually created this thing called the Pandas Library, which is, well, it's huge in Python for working with data.
Okay, so it's like if Python is the workshop, Pandas is the, I don't know, the toolbox.
Yeah.
The one specifically for data. Perfect analogy. And his book, it's amazing. It's like both super detailed and really hands-on at the same time. He walks you through, you know, everything from the very basics of how to write code in Python to actually working with real data using these libraries like Pandas, NumPy, Matplotlib. You're learning from the master, you know.
It's like a backstage pass to data analysis with Python. What kind of stuff, like what kind of data tasks can Python and Pandas actually handle?
Oh, man, it's almost easier to ask what they can't do. Cleaning up messy data, reshaping it, you name it. Filtering, sorting, grouping things together, doing calculations. Let's say you've got this massive data set, right? Customer transactions. Python with Pandas, it can easily like pick out only the purchases from a certain place during a specific time. Then you can group those by customer, figure out the average purchase, even create a chart to visualize everything.
So it takes all the boring stuff, the manual stuff, and just like automates it.
Exactly. It's like having a whole team of data assistants all working for you. So instead of getting bogged down with that, you can focus on the good stuff, understanding what the data actually means and finding those golden insights.
That's amazing. Okay, so speaking of insights, we've got two more books to cover. Both of them are about data visualization, the art, the science, the whole shebang. This is it, the grand finale.
It is, and we're going out with a bang. These are two absolute classics. First up, The Visual Display of Quantitative Information by Edward Tufte. Now, this book, it came out back in the 80s, but it's still considered like the gold standard for data visualization.
Wow, so if there was a Data Visualization Hall of Fame, this would be in it.
100%. See, Tufte ideas, they're timeless. He's all about clarity, keeping things simple, and making sure the data is presented accurately. No funny business.
So, like, no chart junk allowed?
Absolutely not. He actually coined that term, chart junk. Anything that's visually distracting, that takes away from the actual data, get rid of it. He's all about that data ink ratio, using ink to show data, and that's it.
Less is more. Got it. What else did Tufte talk about in his masterpiece?
Well, he was a huge fan of those small multiples we were talking about earlier. Remember, breaking down complex information into bite-sized charts makes it way easier to understand. Like, imagine you're looking at that website traffic data again. Instead of cramming everything to one giant chart, the sources, the landing pages, the conversion rates, you could use small multiples to create separate charts for each of those things.
It's total sense. It's all about clarity, right?
Yes. And he talks about this idea of visual hierarchy, too. Basically, you're using things like different sizes, colors, even where you place things on the page to guide the reader's eye. And really important, he talks about the designer's responsibility to, you know, to be ethical, to not twist the data or present it in a misleading way.
Wait, so there's like an ethical side to data visualization?
Big time. It's like a journalist, they have a responsibility to report the facts accurately.
Well, data visualization designers, they've got to present the data honestly.
Yeah.
Tufte, he gives all these examples of how even small design choices can totally change how people see the data.
It's a good reminder that you can't always trust what you see, even with charts and graphs. Okay, on to our final book, The Signal and the Noise by Nate Silver. What does Silver bring to the table? This book, it's really interesting because it goes beyond just data visualization. It's about making good predictions, you know, when you've got tons of information coming at you. And he uses all these different examples, politics, sports, even like predicting the weather to get his point across.
So it's about like separating the important stuff, the real insights from all the clutter, finding the signal in the noise.
Yes, exactly. He says that making good predictions, it's not about having a crystal ball, right? It's about understanding how probability works, being okay with not knowing everything, and always being ready to adjust your thinking when you get new information.
Being flexible, being willing to admit you might be wrong.
Exactly. And he says, be careful about relying too much on those super complex models, those algorithms. He says, human judgment, our gut feeling, that matters too.
So it's about finding that balance. Data on one hand, intuition on the other.
100%. The best data analysts, they're the ones who can be both analytical and, well, a little bit skeptical. They use common sense.
Wow. This has been incredible. We've covered so much from storytelling to Python to data visualization. I feel like I've been given the keys to the kingdom.
I know, right? It's amazing how much these books pack in. And the best part is this is just the beginning. There's so much more to explore, so much to learn.
So to everyone listening, I hope you're feeling pumped to dive into the world of data. No matter where you are in your journey, there's always something new to discover.
Absolutely. This field is always changing, but the things we've talked about today, those fundamental ideas, they'll always be relevant.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive. Until next time, happy analyzing. Yeah.